is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to another exciting, provocative, interesting, insightful edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And today is going to be super, super, super great and exciting because, of course, today was the first day of early voting. So, obviously, we were talking about trash and garbage. And so, we have persons from the Ecology Park.
You blended those two in so well.
I told you'd laugh. The Ecology Park here today to tell us about the interesting, exciting, and world-changing things that they're doing. But before I get into that, my opening salvo. So, as I drive through the Carmichael Road corridor, Blue Hill Road, all the way from Coral Harbor, I saw a lot of things. I'm very excited about the number of persons that was out to the polls to vote early, to participate in the process. What I also saw were parks. Didn't see beaches. I definitely saw parks. Yeah. Yeah. I think we have to come to a place where, see, we're, Debbie and I, we're in the construction space. And I'll tell you what the construction space does for people. If Debbie says this costs $10,000, the person she tells that to is going to look for $10,000 worth of value. Somehow in politics and government, it don't work like that. And that's the thing, what I can't understand the magic. If I tell you, I want you to give me $100,000 to build a wall, you all would scream. No wall should cost $100,000, right? Unless it's a wall around the entire life, okay? Or something like that, right? But if I tell you your little 50 by 100 lot, I'm going to put a wall across your front yard, and it costs $100,000, you all would freak out and say, you're ripping me off. But then I could tell you.
Unless you're the mason building the wall.
Unless you're the mason. But then I could tell you. And I think, and this is a conversation I almost done. It's a conversation I had with another good friend of mine. I said, there was a time where we talked about the desensitization of the public when it comes to murders. And I believe that that was a true statement then. I'm going to say something, and it's going to be the first time it's coined on radio. So y'all write it down, people, and give me my credits when it's due. The Bahamian public have become desensitized to costs. Let me example. Does $10 million sound like a lot? I said in the studio, listen, nobody even nodded. Like, that's normal. That's like a dollar now.
Yeah.
$50 million, still no reaction.
Billions. We talk billions now.
I, my wife's cousin came from Guyana 6 years ago. She's still living in the Bahamas now, working here and enjoying it here. And she said, I didn't know how rich a place could be. She came one day and she spent an entire day sitting at Prince George Dock. You know what she looked at? She just looked at the cruise ships and said, this place has got to be heaven. They got one cruise ship a month. We got 7 that day, 5 the next day, 6 the day after, every day. And she's like, she'd never seen that in her life. So I say all that to say, we become desensitized to numbers. And the final thing I want to say this about the space that Debbie and I is in, and probably our friends are in it too, because I know they have budgets. And I say this very strongly as a president of the Contractors Association to the clients. Do not take what happens in the government and political world and beat us with that stick. Because I think you may want to do that. I'm going to ask you not to do that to contractors. Because here's what we can't get away with. Debbie can't quote somebody $29,000 for a building and then tell them, I finished it, but you owe me 11 more, it's $40,000. Debbie can't do that and be a contractor that still gets another job. Debbie can't do that. I can't do that. No contractor can do that. However, in the fanciful world of government and politics, you could get a building that's supposed to house chickens, budgeted at $29,000, completed at $29 million, that's with an M, and completed at $40 million.
That's out by the Ministry of Works, right? That building?
Of course. Mm-hmm. So I say all this to say, we have the reality of the world, and then we have politics, which is some fanciful, whimsical, Peter Pan-led environment.
And it's a shame that your wife's cousin, you said?
Yeah.
Cousin actually thinks of us as rich. Because of those cruise ships. You need to drive this woman around the island.
Well, she said she's seen that now. She's seen that now. But
see that
the money she saw was...
That's all that the tourists
20,000 people on that boat? 15,000 on that boat? She did the math. You got 100,000 persons from the United States with at least $10 in their pocket. Do the math. Mm-hmm. The $10 million just dumped in your country right there. They don't see that. And that's U.S. dollars.
And guess what? We don't see it either, Leonard.
That's a good point. So anyway, before I get into anything else, I just wanted to kind of congratulate the Bahamian people for participating in the process, continue in doing so. And the big day is obviously May 12th, and go and participate in the political process. But now, we're going to go to a more serious matter of preserving this one world we got. Now, ladies and gents in the studio and my listening audience, I will tell you right now for them that they are doing a yeoman's job, probably thankless, probably they are on a failed path. You know why? Because Trump seems to keep wanting to blow up things and y'all want to save the world. I don't know if that's going to work. But the rest of the world that's going to be left after we blow everything up, we're going to have the best cleaned, sorted, filtered space that we can live in. So today on our show, we have wonderful persons from the Ecology Park. I keep calling it the dump. They reminded me. It was a dump. Now it's the
New Providence Ecology Park.
Mm-hmm. I hope you all had like a wonderful sign unveiling situation to change it from the public dump to the New Providence Ecology Park. If they didn't do that, they owe you all one. Tell them I said so, okay? So, starting on my right, lady, you want to go and introduce yourself to our audience and the Bahamian public at large.
Well, good evening, Bahamas. My name is Jamie Strawn, and Human Resource Management and Administration at New Providence Ecology Park.
Good evening, Bahamas. My name is Gerard McPhee. I am the lead attendant at the hazmat department at the Ecology.
You get no fancy word with the hazmat. What does it sound like? A nuclear here. What that is? What is hazmat?
Hazardous material.
Waste material like chemicals, e-waste.
Okay, you don't get fancy because you know I don't live in this space. And my gentleman over here.
And good evening. My name is Nelson Bowe. I'm the manager at the Hazardous Waste Facility.
There we go. Now you can call it Hazmat now. Now they understand what it is. So Debbie brought them here. So I'm going to let Debbie ask the questions today. Yeah. Debbie, ask the first tough question to Jamie. Because Jamie's sitting next to you and she's ready for it.
All right. Well, we've been at so many meetings together through all of the government projects that have been going on with the consultants with regard to the documents that we have to prepare for the Paris Agreement, you know, for the signature and all that kind of stuff. You don't just sign it. You actually got to do work. You got to show where you came from and where you're at and you know, all that, that kind
progress.
Of stuff.
Progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's all check that.
It.
Yeah.
I just checking.
We've been in the meetings because they're stakeholders and contractors are stakeholders, right? So I met Jamie just at one of the ones that was at doesn't matter where the people were kind of upset because their time frame was up and they didn't have enough information. Anyway, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
They invited us to an e-leaf presentation, which. Obviously, E would be for electronics, right? And then leaf is the symbol. And they're doing such an amazing job. And the purpose and everything that they're going to talk about today is we have outgrown the landfill. The hills that used to be like 10 feet tall are now 70 feet tall.
I see. I can see them everywhere.
There is so many things that need to be brought out of the landfill to make room for the landfill to be able to remain where it is. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the major ones because it's a hazardous material that is in the landfill. So this is one of the ones. And then there's some other ones that they'll talk about. But this
talk about
e-leaf.
The inception of e-leaf. Why e-leaf? Why?
Yeah.
Well, we've been in existence from 2019. And as we grew over the years, you know, our main goal was to compact and change the quality of life of our neighbors, like in Victoria Gardens and Jubilee. And as we grew over the years and we mastered that technique.
That technique, yeah.
So after that, then what? We have to be more impactful. So outside of composting, outside of our C&D measures and best practices and hazardous facility that just came on board, forgive me, Nelson, if I'm saying it, it's two years ago.
I think so.
Right, we upgraded it, restored it with a facility, a lab, and everything. And so it was only fitting, Debbie, to say, well, hey, how can we make an impact while we are practicing every day a landfill in terms of international standards? Now, the next step is getting the community and corporate Bahamas involved. And in our think camp, we said, well, what is the easiest way and more practical way? And persons and organizations don't realize how much e-waste. So what is e-waste?
What is e-waste? I don't know what e-waste is.
So just, it could be considered not just e-waste, but hazardous waste, right? Okay. But e-waste considers cell phones, batteries, help me out, Nelson, safes and computers and hotels. A simple nano battery. Computers. Yeah. Anything
that's electrical or electronic.
Some batteries can actually start a fire in your landfill.
Can be considered e-waste.
A curling iron.
Yes.
E-waste.
That's e-waste?
Yes. We don't consider a blow dryer.
It's the women there. I got to you the women.
Anything that has
anything with an electrical plug?
He's not giving up his curling iron.
Look I think I can hold on to mine for a couple more years.
So as we move towards, we celebrated 7 years this year. Our idea and one of our goals was how we can get out into community to continue to do waste diversion. And this particular initiative diverts the e-waste from going into the landfill. And like Debbie said, you know, we don't think about how much years we have left, but we have hills and there is an end date. So our goal within New Province Ecology Park is try to divert as much waste as possible
from the ecology park.
So the end date will go further down. Yes.
So let me ask a question there. This seemed to be a very important thing. This seems to be something that has to happen. How do you make the importance of this nationally important so that participation from stakeholders is almost, you know, guaranteed, and they understand that they're participating to the benefit and the betterment of their community.
So, like what we're doing today, mm-hmm. but just to note that we are backed and endorsed by the government, the mm-hmm. Ministry of Environmental Health and Resources. Mm-hmm. So they're aware of the program, they support it. Mm-hmm. The next step is getting out into the airwaves, getting into communities, getting into stakeholders, e-rooms. So us getting out there and understanding the importance of it, persons in corporate Bahamas understand it's perfectly, I mean, it's a goldmine as it relates to ESG initiatives. Mm-hmm. So getting persons, we do it, but why not get a stamp for it?
Okay.
Right.
We can talk about the stamp, and let's take this caller.
Right.
Caller, you're live.
Good evening, Leonard, Debbie, and guests.
Good evening.
Everyone's good? All set?
Everything's great. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
so I just tuned in a moment ago, and I don't know if I caught the gist of the show. I only heard you guys talking about
e-waste. We got persons from the Ecology Park here talking about their initiatives to reduce divert e-waste from the public landfill, i.e. the Ecology Park.
Right. They have a new promotion, and it's called the e-leaf promotion. And they'll mm-hmm. talk about it, but one good thing about it is it's certified. So internationally, persons will understand that the Ecology Park is an environmentally friendly mm-hmm. business situation. It's not just random, and they'll go into more detail on that. I just didn't want that part to get forgotten.
The reason I call in is because I have a couple of bags filled with e-waste that I just did not want to go into the landfill. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't like the idea of possibly having to pay duty to throw garbage away, carrying mm-hmm. it to the States so it could be properly disposed of, right? Mm-hmm. So I just have this bag that's growing.
Wow.
I know I could probably, like, are we ever going to get, or are we, I guess we're too far off from, like, offering, you know, like, not normally with e-waste, they sometimes scan the devices or the equipment, and they can tell by scanning sometimes what's good and what can be thrown away. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of stuff that I want to discard may still be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that happening here, or is it just we hand them over to the people in the studio who you're talking to, and then they discard it properly?
Yes, if you... whatever e-waste you have accumulated, just bring it down to the park, bring it to the hazardous waste facility. Mm-hmm. There is a process for dropping it off. It has to be documented and then assessed. Once that is done, that is taken in. Now, this whole process is very involved, time-consuming, and labor-intensive. And so... there will be, for large businesses, not for the consumer, not mm-hmm. for the household, but for large businesses and of such, there will be a cost. But for the consumer, please, whatever electronics you have and anything that plugs in or operates from a battery, and especially batteries themselves, cell phone batteries, batteries out of your watches, most of these are lithium, mm-hmm. and that in itself is very hazardous. So bring them down to the hazardous waste facility.
Now, what if somebody don't know where that is? Can you please help them understand where that's located?
The hazardous waste facility?
Yeah. We may know where it is, but kind of help us tell us where that is.
Exactly. I don't know where it is. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, he doesn't know where it is.
I also have a follow-up question. I want to hang up and listen once I give you the other question, but I want to know where it is exactly as well so I can bring my stuff. But I also want to know if you guys are petitioning for laws, because I hear you saying big business and cost, and, you know, business don't do nothing that you don't make it do. So do we have any plans or any type of legislation to make sure that they do that instead of trying to discard it otherwise? So I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for your call.
Our location, first of all, we're located on Harrell Road. Now, our proper name is New Providence Ecology Park. The general public might know it as the city dump. That is a term we frown on. because there is a very distinct difference between a dump and a landfill. We are a landfill. We operate to those standards. We meet international standards. And so New Providence Ecology Park is a landfill, and we dispose of our waste in that manner. So that's where we're located on Harrell Road, what you folks know to be the city dump. So once you bring it there, you turn off Harrell Road in, we have an area there that's called the RDO, or residential drop-off. You cannot miss it just as you turn in.
It's
right
on the
there,
left-hand side, yeah.
Right? So as you get in there, you can pull right into the RDO, and any staff member there, they will either assist you or they will direct you to where you need to get that stuff dropped off.
And if you wanted to come and do a tour of the hazardous waste section, you can always call in advance and book a tour of that. Yes. It's once you get there, you're going to say, I didn't know that this was going on. This is way too exciting. And it really is. And people are just, they go, wow, I had no idea. And this is really, really important. And one thing that we are doing, that they are doing, we're not doing any of it, but what they are doing is they have this this e-leaf award that can be won. And I'd really like you to please go into the first person, first company that won it in the Bahamas, and how other people can actually do the same thing. What you're becoming is you're becoming an environmentally friendly business. You're doing the social corporate responsibility.
Yes. Thank you so much for that, Debbie. So the first corporate entity out of the gate was Cable Bahamas. We pitched the idea. You know, historically, Cable Bahamas usually drops off a lot of their electronic waste to the hazardous facility. Modems, cell phones, whatever they have as relates to e-waste, and they still do. So this was a good partnership to pioneer this initiative. And from then, and since we had our launch in March, we've had meetings with other corporate entities and businesses throughout the community, and they are engaged. They are ready. We have custom computers, Bahama. We've met with persons from Sandals, St. Andrew's School just recently, yesterday. So we're also interested in getting into the schools, being an e-school.
Right.
So this initiatives have taken great momentum, and we are excited about it, and it makes a great impact once people understand how it affects the quality of our life here in the Bahamas and for our children and our grandchildren.
Right, and understanding the need to actually remove it from the actual landfill. Because it's too important. There's too much of the hazardous materials that we don't even know about, to be perfectly honest, the average person, you know? And even if you have, like, chemicals or things in a bottle that don't have labels anymore, you can also bring them there. And Mr. Bo, they will test it to see what it is and then label it, and then it will go into that particular section and everything else. So is this done by poundage, or how is it done?
So it's done by volume.
Okay.
Volume. It has four tiers. You know, we mapped out the e-leaf certification by our logo. So there's different tiers for different volumes.
Based on the leaf.
Based on the leaf. So depending on what you contribute, then you have a different tier illumination.
Oh.
So full illumination is the four leaves, and that's based on volume and also advocacy within the country and different sustainable measures you have within your organization. So it's not simply just dropping off e-waste or waste to NPEP. It's how your organization is actually globally heading towards stewardship and sustainability.
Right. So it's.
I just want to take this call.
It's recognized internationally.
Call you live. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening to you all.
Good evening. How are you?
Certainly well. I love the name of the facility or the location, Ecology Park. So I want to know if it's available for persons to have tours or to get information, you know, like whether it's school tours or tourists, you know, guests can come by and they visit the Ecology Park. If they have seating arrangement and if it's a park in the sense of a park, per se.
Well, it's not a park in the sense of a park that you come on the weekend with the kids and spend a couple of hours. But there is, you can call in and arrange for a tour. That is a part of our whole program in getting our message out to the general public. So we facilitate tours on a weekly basis. You call into the facility, they will make an appointment. We're doing schools now on a regular basis. In fact, I believe it was 2-3 weeks ago, we did a special tour on the weekend for some school kids.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
We did it on the weekend. They came down. They actually spent about, 4 or 5 hours? They spent about 5 hours at the park where they went on buses, tour the entire park. After touring the park, the whole tour culminated at the hazardous waste facility where we sat down there. We toured that facility. Mm-hmm. We had lunch and great conversation. And all in all, it was a fun time for the kids. It was a learning time for the kids. And so, yes, you can arrange tours. Come down. We will be happy to have you.
Awesome.
And
like
just to put it in context to the gentleman.
I want to make a question. Is the road to the park or to the site, which was formerly the dump, is it nicely paved now?
Yeah, it's
pretty
good.
Up the hill?
Yes,
it's
it is.
Pretty
yes,
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Because I haven't been there in a long while, maybe since the wrong 2019, around the same time when you started. And last but not least, I want to commend you for, as you said, improving the environment of the neighbors, so the neighbors can actually breed clean.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate your call. I got a text before you go to your question, Debbie. So the texter writes, great topic. The garbage dump, they mean the ecology park, is something I was speaking with a friend about the other day. It's becoming part of the skyline from numerous views on the island. My concern is, as we continue to grow as a country, more particularly this island, what is the plan to deal with the size of the ecology park mound that is getting higher and higher and higher?
So we have a limit. There's nothing that we can do if we want to be practical and realistic about it. It's a landfill, right? What the end goal is, though, is that we, in the future, we have in our plans to, we get ready to be green spaces, trail parks, golf courses probably, recreational facility for kids to come on down, basketball court. So it makes it like an activity center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I understand okay. that it seems like it's a big daunting hill, but in the near future of a couple of years, we're closing one of our cells momentarily, you'll see green space. So it's not as an eyesore.
Yeah.
So there's nothing we really could do with the hill. We're compacting waste, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I was in New York and Niagara Falls, New York,
mm-hmm.
and had to go see the landfill there.
Okay.
Who doesn't go visit landfills when they travel?
When they're in
you
New
know?
York.
I know.
Anyway, beautiful green hills, and you see these vents coming out, which are that's where they catch the methane gas, right? But they're beautiful, and they have benches, they have bike riding places, and everything. I mean, these are things that can actually be done.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yes, we need to keep the hills down because we want to be able to stay there for longer because we're running out of land space to go. But yes, it's there's no reason. It's not the landfill that we are used to, the smelly, horrible landfill.
We don't know that one.
No, you would never even know that there was a landfill.
So let me ask
you
a question then. Let me ask this question to anyone here in the audience or in the studio. Less, because my engineering background kicking. Let's do zero sum. If we wanted to, and let's say we took some of the money from beaches and parks, take some from the Prime Minister's travel budget, take a little bit here from keep education, you know, touch that. Take a little bit from tourism, take a little, and I came up with $250 million. That's my budget, that's my pool, that's my pot. What I'd like to do is remove the hill, get the hill down to, Debbie said it's a, probably about 70 feet. I want it down to 50. Talk to me how we can do that. Because I hear what you're saying, and I hear about how you could beautify the hill. I want the reverse. I want the hill down to 50 feet. I want to take 20 feet off of it. How do we do that?
It's not, well, it's not 70 feet, first and foremost.
Well, on a bus tour that we went, they said, the person said 70
feet. It's 70 feet.
Okay. So that's
if
why.
You stand, if you look
tour,
at it, you could
yes.
see it. Listen.
Okay.
Jimmy.
I didn't
if
pull
you're
it
on
my hat.
Gladstone Road and you look to your east, you're seeing a hill. It's not 10 feet. You wouldn't see it over the houses. It's not 20 feet. It'll be barely over the houses by 10 feet. It's not 30 feet because you'll see a little something. You're looking this way. It's 70 feet. If you're on Fire Trail Road, it's daunting 70 feet. If you're on the highway, Milo Butler, you're seeing it. And if you're on Harold Road, it's the only place you do not see the Ecology Park, and it's because it's down in the slope from that northern section.
Right, from the ridge.
That's the only
it's on the other side of the ridge.
You don't see it. However, if you go in Bahama and go up at least on the fifth or sixth floor, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
So it's tall.
How tall is Mount Vernon and is it
216 feet? It's not
okay.
comparison.
Okay.
Well,
so we're not the biggest peak.
Exactly.
Yeah,
not
the,
no. I'm
so
not by as long.
Yeah. Thank God.
But if you continue, you're going to get there. So I want to know how do we get zero sum? I want to take down 20 feet. Not even zero sum. 20 feet. I want 20 feet come down. I have an idea. You tell me yours, or I tell you mine first.
Getting down 20 feet is going to take some doing, but
yeah,
the first step in doing that
mm-hmm.
is the way we as a country manage our waste. Each and every citizen, each and every household has to be a part of the solution,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which means that when you drink a soda mm-hmm. from a can or a bottle, rather than putting that into the waste bin, it now needs to go into a separate container for either bottles or cans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you order that package from Amazon mm-hmm. or that beautiful package from the store that comes in the big cardboard
mm-hmm.
box, rather than just throwing it out into the bin,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to manage that very differently.
I burn mine.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. I burn all of it.
That is one way of doing it. But
I'm
now,
a fire starter.
Maybe we're just opting for a different type of pollution.
Hang on.
I tell people all the time, she can hug the trees, I will chop them down. I burn fires daily. I have neighbors for a cardboard.
You're
I like to light fires
to
so much.
That.
I have a 55-gallon drum.
Oh my
and I just
goodness.
Put stuff in there, and I whoosh. And it's the sound of the whoosh that really gets me excited. So I live in a gas lane, and sometimes I sprinkle a little turpentine, and we just go whoosh.
Oh,
don't mind me.
Oh,
but I do burn. I burn. So there's no
yeah.
big.
Oh,
coming out of my waste bin, there is no big brown box. I burn.
But yeah.
I burn.
And fortunately, most people don't.
It is against the law.
Law, right. So
it is?
It is against the law.
They could come look for me. Woo. I would swear it's not me.
He'll send his wife out.
And so, yeah, as we... So we're going to have to manage our ways differently.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the solution.
And we've had multiple discussions at the Ecology Park.
Mm-hmm.
The senior management team, the middle management team. And one of the things we believe is a start is big business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold that thought on big business, because this ties right into the Texas question. Because I know you're going, and I ask the question, and I want you all to know I'm not out on an island. The Texas asks the same question. Texas asks, are companies legally obligated to dispose of e-waste properly? Yes or no? Don't get fancy with me. Yes or no?
At this time in the Bahamas, no.
No. Texter, the answer is no, which means is me and my friends can be burning like we are on a holiday and putting all our electronic stuff in the wrong places because somebody's going to sort it, but it ain't going to be us because there's no legal requirement. That's the key. And Jamie, this is what I was talking about. You guys going to continue doing all this hard work, but our country needs to be told what to do.
But even if you have a law, nobody goes nobody abides by any of our laws. Who wears a seatbelt besides me? I mean, really.
Actually, only you, because I don't.
I know.
I stopped wearing seatbelts a long time.
But I'm just saying.
I ripped mine out of the car, actually.
We have all those laws, and we don't.
I'm only joking.
These laws, and we don't abide by them. Yeah. What we really need to do is we need to get people to actually understand that this is our country.
It is.
This is our country. Debbie. And what we need to do is we need to centralize places where we can drop things off.
Like
cardboard boxes. You need a place in the east. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to use Blanco Bleach as an example, because they have a huge place where they could actually be a depot to do that. Mm-hmm. You need one in the west. We've got New Providence Community Church, which, as you know, we already do bottles, we do plastic, we do cans, we do cardboard, we do newspaper, right? We need places like maybe 3 or 4 different areas of Nassau where people could actually go instead of going to the landfill. Because most people are not going to go to the landfill unless you live in that area, right? Otherwise, you're just going to drop it off somewhere or throw it in somebody else's dumpster or, you know, drive down a dirt road and dump it there. But if we could get companies to just be part of this e-leaf thing or do another one that... not electronic, but it's to do with the environment. You know, if we could get companies to say, well, listen, I want to be a part of this team, right? I want to be a part of helping this country, mm-hmm. saving this country. That. We need to do that. Get the corporate Bahamas to participate in these things and get our churches to start bringing their kids and the congregation out to see the landfill, to see what we're talking about.
Oh, they're going to get money from that.
No, you do it on your own. What do you mean money? You drive your stinking car past the dump, you go up the road.
The churches don't get any money for that, so there's no
Well, motivation. I'm just saying, if you belong to a church and you're part of the small groups, why don't a bunch of the small groups get together and go on a tour one day?
Just tell them just Jesus to see will be what there. It's all I, about. I think that would be the motivation. I could pitch that.
He told you we'd be laughing, right? Yeah, he did.
If I told all the churches, guess what? Jesus is going to be at the Ecology Park. Come see him. I guarantee you get him all there. Then you can pitch him, Debbie. On what? Now that you're here, he's not here. But now, what? Now that you're here, here's how you join in the program. No, I'm just being joking. So my text says, Debbie, I vote for Debbie for being the number one advocate for the Ecology Park.
Yes,
she's really passionate about this, and I want you
I
to know, call
really
her
passionate
and text
about
her.
This.
You don't know the half of it. She literally has tree bark on her chest because she hugs trees every day. Incredibly hard. And I am not in that space.
The very first person, Gerhard Bukes, who took over the landfill when it left the government's hands, right, when it became a joint venture kind of thing, he was part of my Energy and Environment Committee. He was one of the members of that when I was with the Chamber of Commerce. So I got to go out there and see the one cycle recycling, mm-hmm. and I got to learn a lot about the park from that. And then when Tim took over, then I was over there with Tim seeing what they were doing, right? And then now with, you know, Jamie and you guys, I mean, well, you know, I've been there, what, about 8 times, 10 yes. times maybe
super,
last year?
Super exposed.
So my question to you, Debbie, do you see the growth? Do you see the progress?
Oh, my God, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
I see a bit of it, and maybe because Debbie's way more involved in it. I still see, which I don't like to see, which is D3s, D8s, moving material, and compacting. There's still too much of that. There's still the equipment that's pushing and moving and compacting.
Well, the thing is, we invite you to come to the landfill to get a tour.
Don't show me because, the fancy side. No, I wouldn't.
No, but I'm saying that the DA and the compactors, you'll have a greater appreciation of what it's doing. Because when I look at it, and maybe I'm kind of biased because I, you know, I'm a part of it. But just like Debbie in terms of being an advocate, your waste.
But so I don't want them to compact
it is a science. It's an engineer. It's a science, and it's exciting
to
because before,
compost.
Of course, and before we just had open dump, but you see them working together. They're actually contributing to our green industry.
Right. Imagine this. Solomon's burnt down, right? Okay. They didn't tell them that Solomon's... maybe it wasn't that one, but one of the buildings that burnt down, nobody told them it was coming, and all of a sudden, all these containers of debris, concrete debris and steel and everything came to this landfill, mm-hmm. and they had to do something with it. They have machines that actually break that down. They take out the steel, then they put that somewhere else, and then they break down the mm-hmm. rock, and they're turning that into rock that they can use for roads and for covering. And there's so many different things that they're doing. But imagine all of these buildings coming at the same time. Where are they? What are they supposed to do with it? It's nobody even has the decency or the courtesy to actually say, listen, we are bringing you 10,000 tons of debris that you need to find something to do with.
But that's the job. That's the job.
It is the job. But
figure that out. That's the job.
It is the job. In another country, in any other country in the world, you would actually have to make an appointment to say that you could do that. They don't do that. They just send all the containers.
That's fine. We're in the Bahamas, though. So
I know.
I'm saying, though. Mm-hmm. That's the job of government. That's the job to create a place that I can take my waste. It's a public service that, and I'm only because I'm seeing you guys here, but I'm talking about the state. The state should find the money and get the resources to get rid of my waste. That's the job. Not your job. That's the state's job. So while I'm not disagreeing with you, what I want to do is get more money, get more things, to make the job easier for the people who work in the job. So, what do you need? I'm going to bring a container of this stuff. It'd have to be sorted. Get a fancier machine. We could spend $140 million on stuff. Get a better machine. Get a bigger facility. Get equipment that could take a satellite image of it and know exactly what's in there. You dig here, pull this out, whatever you need to do. I'm saying that the job of the state needs to get a little bit smarter because I see hardworking people here with an antiquated system from my perspective. Now, I'm not saying that you haven't done a lot of work. I've also been to places where I've seen a lot more happen with the same amount of money. So I'm part of the public that's just demanding more. I want to see recycling not at the facility. I want to see recycling before I get to your facility.
Yeah, but just
no
a bit.
Jamie.
Thank you.
However.
I like that. I'm using that. I'm stealing that.
However, yeah, let's go with however.
I totally understand your plight as it relates to the state, but. To Debbie's, and I maybe because I'm passionate as well, because no matter what
you
the state does,
too?
Whatever the state does, it takes us as individuals to make the difference. No matter how much money they pile down on any organization, any initiative, you have to get the buy-in factor from the residents, from the communities, from us. We say it's the Bahamas, we say it lightly, okay, it's the Bahamas, but it takes us, Bahamians, to make the difference. Absolutely. Not the money, not the initiatives, because we can have pretty initiatives, proactive initiatives, but we don't have the buy-in from Debbie's,
Change
Sands.
Change the laws.
We have, we do have acts. I was researching my colleague. The law is there.
Oh.
We have to enact it, and I want to table it.
Oh,
yes.
That's another one of our friends. And another law that's on the book that we're not doing anything about.
Yes.
Come hang out with us.
And there are more recent amendments that they did to
of
it.
Of course. Right?
Yeah, so we
still
do
not
have
enacted,
it.
Though. Amended.
Yeah, it's enacted. It is. No, it's not enacted. Yeah.
I know it's not.
Yeah. We really have to do a break.
Okay, we got to go to break. We're having so much fun with this.
Yes.
Jamie, hold a thought till we come back. And we'll be back after this break.
Customer service can be a little struggly sometimes in our beautiful Bahama land. But let Dee Dee and Shelley tell you about how Sherwin-Williams does customer service.
It's not only better in the Bahamas for the tourists, you know. Seeing where I would treat the tourists that come here, to seeing me, I treat my Bahamian customers. And I service them with a bright smile. I just love working for Sherwin-Williams. If I can make any customer happy in any wish way, I'll do it every day. Customers is the love of my life, okay?
Sherwin-Williams Paints. Find color in every day.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd hours.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine, I see a new day, and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I know just what to do, go to the paint place. So if you wanna clean it right the first time, go to paint place, stop at the paint place. And if you want it to last a lifetime, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place.
All right, now the last people supposed to answer this, either their brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust.
Uh-huh.
No corrosion. It's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
Hey, go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Odd Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9522. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Nail it on Guardian 96.9 FM. We're having such great off-air conversation. And you know, I realize everyone is a lot nicer than me. Everyone's a lot nicer than me. Maybe because I came up in the wrong side of town and I had to fight and kick and crawl to get some places in life. But I just believe in responsibility as a person who's the oldest of five boys. I'm born with responsibility, right? So you can't just pretend that responsibility with me. You run a country. I don't want to hear someone complaining about how difficult. Yeah, that's a job. If you didn't want that job, don't do the job. Now, to Jamie's point on what we was talking about off air, here's my point. I get it. I absolutely get it, you know. What I don't get is why you're more passionate to the people who should be more passionate. I could convince a kid all day, you need to clean, you need to recycle, you need to do what. But I will never take that kid and put them to more tasks than the person who's made all of this possible, saying, you know, we recognize at some point in time we need to do something with the landfill. First of all, it took too long to come to that place when you were the custodian of a nation of people. Let me be really real here. So I don't give people a lie for starting it. One clap. Secondly, budget was small, great attempt. The solution then, 10x the budget if you say you care about my environment, because we all live in it. So if we're all breathing in toxic air, guess what? All 450,000 of us breathing in toxic air, including the 41 politicians. That's the thing I don't want you to separate. There's no wall between them and us. When I bump into them in the food store, they're in the same supermarkets as me. So we polluting the environment, we're polluting the environment for them and their kids and their family members and their cousins. What I hear is Debbie being real passionate about saving the environment. I hear Jamie being passionate about saving the environment. I hear this gentleman, Nemo, being saying, and I hear, what's your name, sir?
Gerard
being passionate about saving the environment. But I don't think that you guys are the drivers of the environment being saved without the politicians who determine where monies go to make those things. Then you could make sure and do all the things. You could write all the letters you can. You could put it on the bathroom wall so they can't see. Hey, when you come in here, sort your thing. You could make all that happen with money. Money can fix almost all things. It's in the book sometime called the Bible. You could write and finish it, the statement for me.
In the root of all evil.
Someone says that, but the pastor seemed to like, the pastor seemed to like this money, so maybe they just want to be very evil at the root. So y'all ain't gonna get me started on that, because they keep asking me for it every Sunday, so they gotta like something with that money. So the point I make is this: you guys are passionate about it. Yes, that's great, and I love to see it. But the state has to be more passionate about you because they had a fiduciary responsibility to keep me and my family and my children and my cousins and my aunties and my uncles and my grandparents and all your family safe to well. And it can't be on Jamie's shoulders. It can't be on your shoulders. It can't be on Debbie's shoulders. Someone needs to be more passionate in the state to make that happen. So when I see that, then I can appreciate what the future could look like. Other than that, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to note that you're trying your best. But I want the state to make me seem to be a liar. Put $100 million on and say, yeah, look what we're going to do now. And then you twitch every time I talk about money because you think that's a lot. But then I just told you that we spent $11 million we didn't have on a billion. We spent $140 million on not cleaning the parks and beaches. We could find $60-something million for travel. All the things no one's scoffing about, we could, if I add them up, that's $500 million we could waste. But you telling me I could not have a place to put trash in 10 years, and I should be passionate about the abuse? That's what bothers me as I'm listening to all of this. So I want funds, direction, and intention to be directed to where it could matter for the children who are not yet born to breathe fresh, clean air. So when I go in the ocean, I could say some kid 20 years from now could get the same joy. I'm done.
Okay. And I'll be done too, right? But my last point with that, and I understand where you're coming from.
Thank you.
But let's just look from a different, just maybe a different side of things. Even as we go and we talk about like the MLKs, the Martin Luther Kings, and the ones who advocated for a particular initiative, a particular mission, a movement, not relying on someone else to get
Nelson
it done.
Nelson Mandela.
Thank you. If we have the passion as individuals, then as groups, and they hear the passion, we're living our passion, we're making a difference independently. You know, maybe I'm personally of a belief that I don't wait on anybody to make my world, right? I don't rely on the state. I don't rely on the government. And I think that's what makes us unique here at New Promise Ecology Park as well, because outside of what the state is doing, we are dedicated to make an impact independently of what they are doing. And gratefully, they're supporting what we're doing. But just to your point, Sans, is that why wait? If we continue to wait, then nothing happens. Just disposing of your waste tonight or a little wrapper, that makes a difference, and it adds up. It adds up. You're in schools. The kids taunt their parents. Mommy, you can't do that because the teachers say it's supposed to be like this. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference. And that also tells and it teaches the kids that, you know, they're impactful. They're making a difference in the world. Not waiting on the prime minister. Not waiting on the president. They have it within them to be the change agent, mm-hmm. To be the MLK, to be the Nelson mm-hmm. Mandelas, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be the Sir Lyndon Pinlands or whoever else you want to idolize or mm-hmm. acknowledge. But to take that stance and rely on one unit, one organization, whether it be the state or a body, then we would never get anywhere.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely. But
okay, so we just have a difference of opinion.
We're going to go back into this, but we have to
acknowledge
all of our sponsors, yes, because, you know, the BCA is a nonprofit organization, so you know what that means.
Yes.
But we have been so blessed. It'll be in September, 2 years that we've been doing this show. Yes. So we're so grateful that the sponsors actually keep us going. And this week we have sponsors that are ART Development. That is the company that does the fiberglass rebar. CBS Bahamas. Engineering and Technical Services, which is ETS, Lambert Knowles. The Paint Place. Stone Oak Bahamas. Sherwin-Williams. Simplified Lending. These are our mix and mingle sponsors. Simplified Lending. Trustco Limited. The Paint Place. Woosie Construction, Veritas Consultants, and Closets, etc. So thank you so much for making all of this happen and keeping us on the airways and having people call in and appreciate what we're doing and have great questions for us that we can find answers and have we can have more persons like the three that are here today to come on our show. And let's get everything that we need to get out to the general public. Let's get it out on our show. That's what we're prepared to do. Okay. We want to teach, and we want to better contractors, and we want to better our country, don't we? And that's what we do.
We do. I also want to get the construction contractors board appointed, but that ain't happening. So my good friend over there, who's opposite me, being very quiet, I'm going to pull you into this. So I am a truck driver. I got a bunch of tires. Mixed load, tires, residential waste, and some batteries. And I pull up to the Providence Ecology Park.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about what's going to happen when I get through those gates.
Okay, what's going to happen is you're going to go over the scale, the weight scale. You're going to be weighed. You're going to stop to the traffic boot. There's a gentleman there, he asks you what you have in there. Now, you wouldn't know as the truck driver. Because you're picking this up.
That's right. I don't know.
You would tell him, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He'll send you up on MSW. And when you get to MSW, you dump that. We would have to go and pick through that to see what's in there that stays up on MSW. And what has to come off MSW. The batteries, the tires, has to come off MSW. The batteries come to Hazmat. The tires go on the opposite side of the hill. That's the problem we have now. People invoke drivers to pick up bins, but they're not telling them what's in it.
So you guys should make a law, a rule, that we will not allow this container to come onto our landfill unless you produce a document telling us exactly what's in that. That's what you guys should do. Enforce it. And I'll tell you what, the first container that comes there, it isn't able to offload and has to go back to the client. I'll tell you what, that'll be the last time they do that. They will make sure that the person who's asking them to take that to the landfill, that they'll make sure that they have that document. And we have to have these documents for everything. We really do.
And it's good, Debbie, you make that point, because we are interested in knowing what are we landfilling. We would want to know.
Yes.
So that is definitely what we're working towards, but they don't, you know, we need to see the importance of it. We get it that sometimes when we hire the slips and the containers, residents like to make use of it. You know, they throw everything they can because, you know, they pay for the bin. But that's something that we definitely need to get into.
Yeah, you really do.
Enforce.
And whoever owns the company that has the bins should be the one that should be insisting mm-hmm. yes. on getting this yes. because they will not be able to dump that unless they have that for you.
Yeah, we have to get to the point now where we make owners who are hiring people responsible.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes they have to be.
And that's the biggest problem for us.
Mm-hmm.
No one has the accountability. You can't blame the driver. I think it was last year. We had a bin come up there that was on fire. We call that hot mm-hmm. load.
Yeah.
That was actually on fire.
People put fireworks in these containers.
The driver had no knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He was driving a bin to the dump that was on fire. So we had to take that bin, put that on a separate part of the dump, and try to get that out.
Right.
So we are stuck with a problem that we are trying to solve, but the only way for us to solve that problem.
But if you reached out to, let's say, Bahamas Waste Management and Waste Not and Solid Waste Management, like some of the larger companies, and say, listen, you know the problem we're in, right? We need your help, right? We need your help. We need guidance and we need your help. We need that your guys, when they're going out, they receive a list, and you could even give them the form that they fill out, right, as to what is going to be in that bin, right, and have it signed and dated, right? So that you know exactly what's coming in, and just tell them if they don't do it, we will not accept it, and we will help you do the advertising campaign.
And then what happens if you don't accept, and I decide to dump it on the side of the road?
Exactly, but baby steps.
Because nothing's gonna no. See, you have to be careful with it. I know you want to get the right thing, and that's why I say laws have to make sure.
But if he goes back to the job contractor and says, "I need the list,"
he ain't
bringing it
back to me. Oh, I pay you to dump it.
Like I said,
I pay you to dump it. You can come back to me. You go somewhere else.
Baby
steps.
You
can come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Right now, as persons or businesses, and really everybody, as they come into the hazardous waste facility, there is a receiving form that we require be filled out.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to list the items or the types of items that they're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with the scenario that Gerard just gave, the driver of a roll-off, he just goes and pick up a bin. He doesn't know what's in that bin.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes it up to our MSW where he's going to offload that. And then the person's up there working that face, they will call us. We have to go up there now. We have to pull all that stuff out. Okay? So this is our reality as it stands now.
Right.
Our senior management team is working to change that.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes time. It takes steps. Yeah. It takes working with the haulers. The haulers now have to work with the persons they're renting the bins to.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And then somewhere in there, we're going to need government oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it takes baby step. We are working towards that. Shows like this one that allow us to reach out to the public so that the public understands what it is we're trying to do. All of these are the steps we're taking.
You've proven that you can do it because you had Cable Bahamas work with you on doing
yes.
what they've done. And I'm sure they haven't just stopped. They've continued doing what they're doing, right? So you've proven that you can actually do it. That's why I say go to one of the companies,
please.
One of the larger companies, the one that you know does a lot of paperwork, make sure that everything is working. They're not sending out trucks that are no good. Start with them. Have a conversation. Say, listen, this is what we need to do. How can you help us?
Or the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection can pass a law that every skiff entering the public waste facility must have a document that outlines everything that's in the skiff.
That would be the Department of Environmental Health,
yes.
not DEP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
A state department could
mm-hmm.
make that, all the things you talk about,
right.
could make that law, which means that in violation of the law, everyone involved with that would be subject to fines, penalties, or imprisonment. Listen, and I said it before. I would like to drive with 100 miles per hour because I like it. It feels good. I have a nice truck and it goes fast. I also realize that if I choose to do that on a road that's marked 45, I would get a ticket. I can still choose to do that, but I understand that there'll be penalties. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, in all instances, the only thing we know for sure is people are most likely to follow laws, even though some will not.
If there's a penalty.
If there's a penalty.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, for all the good work that is happening, mm-hmm. what aids to that in a lot of ways is strengthening the laws that enforces either penalties or compliance. Finally, Dr. Rihanna Nini, like I said, we went to college together. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a lot different than what she was in college because she's a bully now, and I like it. You found doing something, dumping or whatever it is, you're going to find a $10,000 every instant. Mm-hmm. Do it for 10 days, 100 grand. That's great. I like it. Mm-hmm. You know what they've stopped doing? Doing exactly what the law tells them they shouldn't do. Because someone got hit with a $100,000 fine. So if we want to hug trees and believe that some of this kumbaya is going to get it done, I can tell you right now, you make people do it, you get more success that way. But you still have to educate people on why. But right. I believe the education of it, even if to be mandated. I made it mandatory. I don't know why we want to run away from the word mandatory. Mm-hmm. In China, you got to do certain things. I've been there. And the place is cleaner than you'd ever imagine. Because people have to keep clean. Police will arrest you if you drop a paper on the ground. And you go to jail for months for a candy wrapper. So you know what you'll never find on the ground in China? A candy wrapper. It is the cleanest place I've ever been. And I've been to a lot of places. UK is filthy. There's no penalty for throwing a candy wrapper on the ground.
Yeah.
You don't go to jail for months. So I'm just saying, I may sound draconian, but the benefits we all want to enjoy has to come with a little bit of, let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. So we all out of time, so I'm going to leave 10 seconds for final thoughts. Jamie?
Just want to say thank you for having us. As we continue to grow as an organization, we implore the public and the corporate Bahamas to join us as we make a difference together here in the Bahamas. Just changing the perspective and understanding the plight towards the green industry takes just one of us to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. We want to say thank you for being here, for hosting us. And it's just, people just have to learn that they are part of the Bahamas. So whatever it is to keep it clean, that's what we have to do. That separate your garbage, separate your battery. It takes you as a Bahamian to develop certain things.
Yeah.
Good.
Final it takes a village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does.
And that's my final talk.
It takes a village. I like it.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, we're fresh out of time, Debbie.
Yes.
We did it again. Another show.
We did it again.
Thank you very much.
Yes. I'm so grateful you guys came from
the New Providence Ecology Park, mm-hmm. formerly known as the once burning hill called the New Providence Landfill/The Dump. But since 2019, it is under a new name. Very good progress to New Providence Ecology Park. Mm-hmm. Don't get nervous, Jamie. You should see me when I'm really excited. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for our show, and we're out.
See you next Thursday. Have a good night, everybody. Be safe.
I will tell.
Where every reason on earth to know and again, it's always us against the world, against the world.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
Don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine, I see a new day, and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I
CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd hours.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
And now a word from your local Sherwin-Williams Paints family.
We were taught that we must communicate with the customers so that we can give them the right product that they need, not just because you are make a sale. We make it a point to ask questions so that we can make your project that day effective. Do it right the first time.
That's the truth.
Because that's what it is. Not a joke.
No joke at all. Sherwin-Williams Bahamas. Find color in every day.